Urban Lifestyle Cafe. Michael, you're a dreadlock connoisseur, and I'm here with my co-host, Alicia.
Hi.
So, as we go through our movie section, we finally got out to see Get Out.
Yes, we finally did.
So, very good movie. As you know, and you've probably been seeing, or if you haven't been seeing, Rotten Tomatoes still has it at 100 rating. It's at 100 rating. So it's really, really kind of cool that this new movie by this comedian. So if people don't know the director, or writer, it's Jordan Peele.
Yes, it is.
Peele and Key, or Key and Peele.
And he is so funny. Oh, my goodness.
So this guy is hilarious. So both of them had their little show. I think they was on Mad TV, had their show on Comedy Central, did a lot of skits. And they do the Obama skit with... Key doing what Obama wants to say,
and then the you know the handshake,
doing the straight man, and going
I love
from there.
It.
So, but he took a different turn, and he went and made a movie. So, which is really something out of the ordinary that a lot of people didn't expect. That I think it cost them about $12 million, and at $12 million, it finally crossed over the $100 million mark, so which made it an extraordinary movie. So here's the synopsis, you know, if you want a quick overview. He said, now that Chris and his girlfriend Rose have reached the meet the parents milestone of dating, she invites him for a weekend getaway upstate with Missy and Dean, which is her parents. At first, Chris reads the family overly accommodating behavior as nervous attempts to deal with his daughter's interracial relationship. But as the weekend progresses, a series of increasingly disturbing discoveries lead him into the truth that he never could have imagined.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it looked like it was interesting. When me and Alicia was looking at it and saw the previews, we was kind of like, uh-oh, a horror movie, so blood and guts and crazy this, crazy that.
Yeah, because I'm not into horror movies like that. I mean, it's a waste of money for me. I'll close my eye through most of it, so.
So, which is kind of weird, but, you know, I like the more complexities. I like kind of thriller horrors as opposed to horror, gross out, whatever. So I try to see a lot of the horrors that are like Korean, maybe the Japanese horror. I really like those because those are more complicated. Those are more not based on gore and blood and guts and all of that. It's based on, you know, the shock. And so those was interesting. But, you know, you don't hear a lot of horror movies made by black people, you know. So quick disclaimer to Jordan Peele, he is married to a white woman. So check that off. Yeah. And his mother's white.
Yes, his mother is white.
Check that off.
And so, you know.
So he has a perspective that, you know, he can put in and he's just not kind of like making fun of whites. He's kind of like, you know, part of his experience and part of his perspective.
Yeah, but no matter what, you know the rules. You know, he's still black.
Yeah, in the eyes of most.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still black.
He's still black. So again, you know, we seen the movie. I love the movie. Very different. It has a message to it. Several different messages to it.
Several.
Yeah. Depends on who sees what through the actual movie.
So movie. So I gave you their summary or their overview. Here's the short and sweet through my perspective. It's about black man having a relationship with a white woman and then turned around. And she's like, look, I feel serious about this guy, so I want him to see my parents. And they go up in upstate New York, where the high-class area of where a lot of whites meet, and there's something sneaky behind that's going on. And the good thing was, even during the previews, you didn't know what it was. All you knew was he had to get the hell up out of there, which was really good, because a lot of people didn't reveal what was the true key of what was going on. And but it was, be prepared, because this is a crazy type of movie.
Well, it was kind of good because it kept you guessing. You could have, you know, a lot of movies you kind of know what was going to happen before it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie didn't give you that kind of vibe. You really... You know, there was things that I was like, oh, yeah, now I know what's going to happen next. And I really like, okay, that was wrong.
Yeah, but you didn't. And it was different for me, too, is, you know, you knew he had to get out, but you didn't know why.
Yes.
You really didn't know why. So the movie opens up with a black guy in the neighborhood, you know, calling his friend, and he's in, like, a white neighborhood, and he's walking through there, and all of a sudden, you know, he gets attacked by someone.
He get kidnapped.
And kidnapped. So they attack him, they kidnap him, and they drive off.
Because, you know, black folks just don't disappear.
Yeah, black folks don't disappear.
No male just disappears.
They get shot and be on the side of the street, but they just don't go missing. So this dude is from Brooklyn, and he's gone. So that's what you open up with. And then it goes into the short relationship between Chris and Rose, packing up, getting ready to go see her parents in upstate New York. So you get an impression. Let me paint the impression. So you get that the first thing that you see is, someone who actually, as they driving upstate, the cops stop them. And as the cops stopped them, because they hit a deer, deer swerved off the road. She called the cops.
Yeah, and, you know, they're waiting for the cops to come.
They're waiting for the cops. And the cop shows up and say, hey, you need to be careful. And then he said, I'd like to see your license and your some identification. She was like, he wasn't even driving. What the hell? And he was like, it's no problem. Here you go. She was like, no, what the hell is this? And the cop looking at her, and he looking at him. You know, she's semi-belligerent, and he gets a call from his fellow officers and said, are you okay out there? And he looks up again and said, yeah, everything's cool. But that shows the immediate uncomfortableness of black and white, where she was naive and said, yo, why are you questioning us?
Yes,
I'm
right.
The one who's driving. It has nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
He being black is like, this is what they do.
Yeah, that's normal.
Here's my ID.
I don't take it personal.
Yeah, because I know that's what they do.
Yeah, that's normal.
Because they don't trust black people, so I need to have my ID ready. So that's the impression, like, uh-oh, is he going into an area with this racial tension that they don't like interracial couples and everything? So it gives you that impression. He did go see the deer. I'm trying to figure that part out. He was looking at the deer in the side of the road. It's supposed to be some symbolism, but we'll talk about that a little later. But I was kind of like, really? Okay, never mind. Mm-hmm. So I kind of let that go. Then they arrive. They arrive at the house of her parents. Her parents seem overly, you know, liberal to the point of, hey, we love having you here, hugging him. Hey, my man. Hey, how you doing, my man? And, you know, so overly kind of accommodating. And so the mother was like, do you smoke? Or they was asking him if he smoked. And He said, yeah, and he's trying to quit. And the husband said, well, my wife does a really good job with hypnosis and can get you to stop. And then the next day you're done. So it was kind of like, yo, what the hell is up with this hypnosis shit?
Yeah.
So that was kind of weird.
But you remember, you know, you got to talk about his best friend.
Oh, so his best friend, the guy who works for TSA.
he's hilarious.
So his best friend, black brother, was like, yo, I don't think you should be going up there, bruh. Ain't it a little soon to be going up there like that? And his girlfriend, and he talking to him in the car, and his girlfriend's like, let me talk to him. And she was like, hey, what's up? No, you can't have me. She said, he's so jealous of you, and blah, blah, blah. So he had some reservations. His brother, his boy was like, yo, I just think that's kind of quick. I'm taking care of your dog. But still in all, I don't think you should be up there. So interesting subject, and everybody's acting a certain way. But they come to find out they're having some kind of annual picnic, where a lot of family members and friends were coming over, and they supposed to have been coming over just for a visit, just her and the family. But she wasn't aware that anybody else was supposed to be there. So, you know, again, leading up to what the heck is going on.
Right.
So the only thing, and you have to pay attention in this movie because there's a lot of stuff going on around him. So he sees the black woman, and there's a black man who's doing the gardening and the yard work, and then the black woman is in the kitchen kind of cleaning up, looking at things, you know, really smiling and staring and, you know, kind of glass-eyed, like there's nothing there.
Right.
So you're really looking at them, and when you first saw them, Leisha, what was your impression when you saw them? What went through your mind? Because I was kind of like still debating what the heck is going on with them.
Well, you mean the very beginning when the movie started?
No, when you saw the girls. I mean the servant black people at the house.
I mean, I thought they were servants.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just, you know, just like always. You know, we've seen so many shows with servants, and you know they always have something smart to say or doing something crazy, but they were just too accommodating.
But they seemed like they was in a trance though.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I thought of was, you know, the mother must have hypnotized them. You know, so when you saw them, they seemed like Leisha, they was in a trance. They was really not really.
I mean, what
part of them?
Okay, so. That's what you thought, that because she's into hypnotism, that when you first seen them, that you thought they were hypnotized?
Yeah, that they was hypnotized into being kind of passive the way they were. So well, I was like, oh, maybe she hypnotized them and make them not being aggressive. And, you know, like smart black woman, sassy black woman, and the black man in the background.
I mean, well, you know, I know that she said that she hypnotized them, but I didn't, because she was like, you know, you know, because he said he smoked, she said, I'm good at hypnotizing people out of smoking. So, you know, my first impression is exactly what she said. I didn't think that she had that kind of hypnotized that kind of control until she actually hypnotized him. And I was like, oh, he was done. After right. seeing what she did to him yeah. and how he.
Yeah, that night that he got up. You remember?
Yes.
But see. Oh, okay. So when I first saw them, no, I didn't think about that because I didn't know she was hypnotizing them anyway. Mm-hmm. But even when she made the statement, I didn't say that was what's wrong with them. I'm like you. After I saw her hypnotize him and he actually got hypnotized, then I said, ooh, maybe that's why
yes.
they're acting that way.
Yes.
So that's when I took it to there. It wasn't yes. like I had a revelation when I first saw them. I was like, no, I had nothing.
No, because I mean, I'm like, you know, yeah, you could go to psychiatrists who hypnotize people to stop smoking, to stop eating, you know, those little things. But like I said, once you seen what she did to him,
then you'd be like, whoa,
that was some deep ass mind control kind of shit.
So just was crazy. So he went outside because he was going to smoke, and before he started smoking, the yardsman, the big, he's a big old dude too. The yardsman, he, in the distance, you see him coming.
Yeah, he was
running hard as hell. He was running. Like, oh, shit.
He like, what the hell? He going to jump me. And he just run past him and make a turn.
And just turned.
I was like, what the hell?
And then the woman's up in the window, but she's just looking at herself. And she's constantly just.
That was a little later.
But I thought he turned around after
she was and in the
saw
kitchen.
Her. Oh, she was in the kitchen. She was at the door.
Yes.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And then she looked up and saw him. And then he was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, and then she disappeared.
Yeah, and she took the hell off. And he was like, yo, this is fucking crazy. And
that's when he walked in, and then he ran to the moms.
Mm-hmm.
And the moms hypnotized him.
So she was telling him about asking him about his life.
Yeah, yeah.
So the key thing was she had a teacup.
Yeah.
She was just staring.
Staring, yeah.
Staring it.
Oh, my gosh.
And staring it. And she would ask a question.
And then she'd ding, ding,
clink,
ding.
Clink, clink.
And then he was hypnotized because he told her not to do it.
Yeah, because he's like, I'm not for it. But she kept talking and kept spinning that spoon in the tea and clink, 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 clink. And he was hypnotized. And then he fell into the void or whatever they called it. But he was sunken in the sunken darkness or whatever like that. But that was crazy. So he got hypnotized. But then when he got up in the morning, she said, I think... So they was getting dressed and everything because the party was going to start. But before that, her brother showed up.
No.
This dude.
Oh, well, he was there when they first walked through the door, right?
No. He showed up a little later.
Man.
He showed up a little later.
I thought he was supposed to be in college or something like that.
Yeah, but he didn't supposed to be there, according to what she was talking about. But, remember, she went into the kitchen. Her mom went into the kitchen.
Yeah, because he seemed racist.
Yeah, he seemed really racist, seemed really aggressive. He was saying, like, small racial things, like, oh, yeah, your kind of body, you should be doing all kinds of sports and all. And he was like, yeah, well, not really. So he didn't want to fall into that. So that made that really confrontational again. So, again, you're not really knowing what's going on, but... The parents still seemed pretty liberal, but the son seemed kind of racist. You know, he was very aggressive toward him, so which made it like really kind of strange. And then she was like, oh, he's an asshole, that's my brother, blah, blah, blah. So that was before he went to bed and went outside to see the, get ran into by the old man from the yard's keeper. But when he got up in the morning, he... didn't have a feeling for smoking, and he was like, I think your mom hypnotized me last night.
Yeah, she sure did.
He said, because I'm disgusted by smoking now. You know, I think she hypnotized me. And she was like, I don't know. I told her not to do it, and I don't know. So it was cool, and, you know.
Through the whole thing, thinking about her, the girlfriend.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you really didn't know until that very last part. That
so her was probably, to me, one of the bigger shockers because I didn't catch it anywhere. I didn't catch her part in the whole thing throughout the movie until she let you know. Which is, like, really weird. So we're not going to go through the whole movie. I'm not trying to go to step by step by step. But, you know, the gathering, there's a whole bunch of older white people that was there.
Oh, my goodness.
It was older white people
that was
there.
You know, because she was like, you know, we have an event with all the family members. And she was like, for real? It's going to be tonight?
They said it's every year. It's every year.
Around the same time. For real?
She said, I'm sorry, I didn't know.
And, you know, what was so crazy was like, okay, so what about this damn gathering? You know? And that one, that's when you was like...
Something's going on.
Yeah. Because
something's weird.
When they start rolling up, you was like, what the hell?
Yeah, it was like... I'll just say it. It looked like they was going to, you know, one of those expensive auctions where they have... all the black cars and these people show up in suit and regalia and they auctioning off like jewelry or paintings. It looked like the way they was pulling up, that's what the presentation was. In the backyard, you can see the chairs are set up in that way. And I'm like, oh, wow, look at this. What the hell is going to go on today? But you still didn't have an idea. You didn't know what the hell was going on because there was no precursor of what the hell was going on.
Right.
But as she started introducing them to everyone, they was making these snide racial statements.
Yeah.
But not like Southern racism. Yeah, it wasn't Southern racism. Yeah. You know that good old Southern racism.
It was like oh my
you
God.
You niggers could be jumping out of a tree.
Oh,
and
you look so nice.
Oh, yeah. You're so, can I touch you?
Can I touch you?
Oh, yeah. You know, I know Tiger. You know, I can introduce you to him. And Tiger's like, have you ever played golf? And, oh, it's such a great. And they looking at him and looking him up and down. And
I mean,
I'm like,
it was almost like, how would you say, what would you call it? Almost like testing him, like shopping.
Yeah,
like you know, feeling the product. The
yeah, it was just testing
product.
It out, and yeah, you know, and it, but again, these wasn't Southern racist type thing. You know, there was a big difference. It was complimentary, but kind of racist complimentary. You know, they was just saying things that was pretty racist, but not overtly insulting races. They was taking the stereotypes. So that's what I was really trying to say. They was doing a lot of stereotypes toward him. And, you know, looking at him, touching on him, asking him questions about his physique and everything like that.
And then the blind guy.
So the blind guy, he was a photographer. And so he kind of, you know, they bonded because he was a great photographer that the guy Chris knew. So it was pretty cool that he was like, wow, I can relate to somebody that's here and everything. But it was fine. So then he's walking through there and he's taking pictures and, you know, he's feeling kind of uncomfortable because there's all these white people. Then he saw one black man and he was like, hey, bro, it's good for to see one of us here. And he turns around. And if you remember the beginning of the movie, it was the black guy that got kidnapped.
Yeah, but remember also, they asked him some kind of questions about being, what do you prefer to be called, African-American or black, I think it was?
Yeah, just little things like that. But I didn't think that was just part of that whole, you know, asking black people that and, you know, just go from there.
Yeah, because that's how the other black guy came into the picture. Because he said, well, what do you think about being called African-American? And that's when he took the camera and took a picture of him as he was speaking.
No, that was after he introduced him and said, hey, bro. And he turned around. And then I'm not sure if it was his wife or whatever, but the white woman showed up and was like, yeah, our friend Chris here said how pleased he was that he saw another person like him. And he was kind of like, yo, man, why you gotta fucking tell them that? And he's looking at them like, oh yeah, I kind of did. And then when they start asking, everyone came, you know, around and start, you know, actually talking, and he stepped away from him and he took a picture. He lifted his camera and the camera flashed. And right. When the camera flashed, you know, the guy, you know, almost like he woke up or got stunned, and he just went off and was like, get out, get out, get out of here, get out,
yeah,
get out.
Him
and
get
he was
out.
Like, whoa, what the fuck? And, you know, so, you know, they grabbed him, took him inside the house, and calmed him down, and he was in two different rooms. And he told his girlfriend, that guy looked familiar to me. I don't know where, but that dude looks familiar. So they take him out of the room and say, I don't know what became of me.
Yep. They brainwashed him back.
Yeah. So kind of brainwashed him or whatever they did behind closed doors. And then everybody started going home. So, which was kind of weird. And he was, I think that's when he went upstairs and saw his phone was unplugged. And he saw it was unplugged this morning. But again, it was unplugged again. And he told his girlfriend, I think when she was in here cleaning.
Yeah, she's been unplugging my phone.
She's looking at my damn phone. Right. I don't know what's up with that. So she actually went and told her. And the black woman came in and said, you got the impression that I went through your phone. I wouldn't do that. And it was never like, he was like, look, you know, I'm sorry. And he said something to her. And then you can see her like going, no, 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 no. And she started crying. So that was interesting because that scene, you don't know why she started crying.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was kind of a couple of speculation, but as I was started reading after the movie, I kind of had my views on that. But later on that night, he was like, look, we just need to get the fuck up out of here, you know? I'm feeling uncomfortable. They went out, and he was pretty upset what was going on. And they said, well, we just need to leave. And when he came back, she was taking a shower, and they was getting stuff together, but he went into a closet. It was a small little side closet. I thought it was like an attic closet, but it was like a small closet, and it had like a red box in there. Because when he woke up that night, that box was open. I mean, not that box, but the door was open.
Yeah, the door was open.
But he kind of ignored it, but he saw it. But this time he saw it, and when he went in there and cut the light on, he saw her. He pulled out a whole bunch of pictures with all types of fucking black people.
It was everybody that was in their parents' house. So it was the guy who was running that crossed him, and it was the woman that was like the servant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one other person. Wasn't it?
No, it was a bunch of other guys. It was a whole bunch of them. Okay. It was about 15 pictures he went through. But he saw the one guy who was the servant, and he was with her, though. He was like, it was with her. So in his mind, that was weird because he talked to him when he walked outside, and he's like, "Yeah, she's a nice looking girl, isn't she?"
Yeah,
feel. And he told her, "Look, I don't know what the servant. If he feels some kind of way about you," she was like, "No, that's not what it is. No, no, you're just taking it wrong." But when he saw that, and then he saw her with the black girl too,
yeah,
it was kind of like, "Yo,
because he was trying
get out.
Yeah,
I'm getting the fuck up out of here."
Yeah, because he's like, "You got the car keys. Got the car keys."
And she's like, "I don't know where they are. I don't know where they are." And he was like, "Yo, fuck that. Let's go downstairs and let's go." So,
but you knew from the pictures that she had something to do with it.
But he didn't know what it was because she was still like, "I don't know what the hell. Let's get out of here." So did she going down the stairs, and her brother was like, "Yo, you ain't going nowhere." And then her parents come out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, he was like, "Get me the goddamn keys." And she was like, "Psh, look, you can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere." And she pulls out the keys out of there, and you're like, "Oh, shit. She got something to do with this. What the hell?" You know what I mean?
I mean, once she decided that, I think when she's like, "Yeah, I'm part of this because I'm not giving you the damn keys."
Yeah, you're not getting nothing. Then her mom, clink, clink, the teacup, and his ass falls into the void.
Yeah, he fell out.
They was like, "Damn, he fell hard."
Yeah,
you know. So I was like, "God damn."
Yeah.
So he it was like, "Yo, what the hell are they gonna do to him?"
And in the meantime, his boy calling him.
Yeah, his boy like constantly like, "Yo, what the fuck?"
Yeah,
you know, "Where you at?
Yeah, where you at, man?"
So he got some conspiracy theories that, because he told him earlier, he said, "Man, they'll keep you up here and use y'all as sex slaves." And he was like, "Man, shut up with that bullshit," you know. So it was still pretty cool. But he wakes up in the basement. And when he first came in, he said no one can go down the basement. Her father walked past that area. He said no one can go in the basement because it has black mold. So he kind of deterred him from my kind of looking at it. But he winds up in the basement tied to a chair in front of an old-fashioned
TV. Which they were telling, and he's like, "Okay, this is why you're here.
This is why you're here." And they show a video of her mother, her father, her grandmother and her grandfather, her and her brother. And they go through, "This is this new thing that we're trying," and blah, blah, blah. And come to find out, and this is where you really find out what they were doing. We just thought they was hypnotizing them and going in. But what they were freaking doing was these white people who loved black people so much, they actually was taking over their brain. They would take over their brain and become them.
And see, the thing is that when you told me that, I was like, okay, so I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but it's almost like they're stuck with them. And they, I mean, it's almost, it's just, that's what I kept seeing. I was like, okay, even though they may have taken over their brain and they're that white person is black, it still felt that they were slaves. They were locked in, they were stuck in this body and they couldn't go nowhere. They couldn't go back home. It was like they were, it's almost like they made them non-existent in their
right,
own
but that's not
world.
A, but that's not a slave. A slave does things that they, so I see what you're saying. Even though the white person is doing what they want to do, the black people are doing what they're not doing. But the perception of slavery to me is you're forcing someone to do something because you want them to do it and you don't want to do it.
Yeah, but they were forced. Again, they were kidnapped. They were brought there against their will.
Yeah, I got that.
You know, and then they were then taken, their brain was taken apart, and then now they were the other person.
So I got what you're saying. And you know, thinking the way you saying it, you're just not articulating it really well. It's because slavery, if you use the construct of slavery, it's kind of like, you know, if I pull you from your life and make you do something against your will and hold you captive, you're a slave. Even though you're not doing the slave labor, you are physically and mentally enslaved. You cannot be anything other than what they are. The only way you could is, you know, there's a sliver of them left because he had the video and the video was showing the blind guy. And like he said, he didn't need his body. He don't care about his body. He just wanted his eyes.
Yeah, he just wanted his
eyes.
He
said, I just want your eyes.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take the body and everything like that, but I just want your eyes. And then come to find out, the two servants were the grandparents. So the grandmother was fascinated by being black. So she stood in the mirror and watched herself and combed her hair and smiled. And so she was fascinated. Wow, I'm black. I'm so beautiful. I'm black. And the grandfather, I didn't understand it until I realized it was the grandfather. The reason why he was running that way is because he was able to run.
Yeah, yeah.
An old man can't run like that. Yeah. So he was using the power of this black man to run as fast as he could.
And the only
he said, this is how I exercise.
Yeah, and the only way they unlocked them, the only way that the black person who were those other person was released from their freedom was by taking a picture of them.
It's the flash. The flash triggered brain switch.
Yeah.
Now, you know, they never went into how long it would be or whatever like that.
Yeah,
but
it's like just wow. I mean, because, you know, you're thinking about it, it's like, so that's why he kept saying, get out, get out, get out. Because
he knew what was going to happen to him.
Yeah, he knew exactly what was going to
happen.
He said,
yo, they're going to do you just like they did me, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's sitting there. He knows he's going to get changed. The blind photographer talks to him over the TV. And every time she shows up on the TV and she spins her spoon inside the teacup and go cling, cling, and then he falls into the void. He's hypnotized and he falls into the void. So, you know, we sitting there be like, how is this dude going to get out of here? So immediately they flip and show that his boy is doing a lot of investigation. So he went to the TSA and was like, look, I found this guy who's missing. And he's from Brooklyn, and we know this guy, And
they, yeah, they show him a picture of
but
him.
But here's a picture of him.
Right.
At this house where right. this guy, my best friend, is. And I haven't heard from him in 2 days.
And they laughed at his ass.
So she was like, hold on. I see what you're saying. Hold on just a moment. So she bring two other guys in there. He tells the whole story again. And they just start laughing. She said, look, I told you, don't never say I don't bring you in on no jokes. And he was like, get your ass out of here. So he's still saying something's freaking wrong. So in your mind, he's tied up in his chair. Is this silly, crazy friend of his is going to go there and help him out? So you don't know how he's going to get there. But he was scratching the chair. And as he was scratching the chair, because he's sitting there, when he was younger, waiting on his mother, because when she hypnotized him, he told her about looking at TV. And he was watching TV, and his mother never came home because she was in a car accident and died on the side of the road because no one came there to help her. So that was the deer. So when he hit the deer and the deer was on the side of the road, his mind went up to a helpless thing, person on the side of the road that no one is doing anything for. So it kind of went there. There was a symbolism right there. And I kind of was like, okay, that's pretty different. So I got it from that. But anyway, so as he was scratching the chair, he saw that cotton was coming out of it. And I immediately said, he's going to use the cotton and put it in his ears. And then when they come in, he's not going to hear the ting ting of the glass, and he won't be able to fall back into the void. So the father, in about a couple of rooms down, is cutting open the head of the blind guy
who owns the art gallery that puts the guy's pictures in there. The black guy's pictures are in there.
So he's like, yo, so I'm just prepping this guy. And so you see his son. His son actually comes into the room and start, you know, unstrapping him because the assumption is he's already knocked out.
No, you forgot about the cotton in the ear.
Yeah, I said that. He put the cotton in the ear.
Okay.
Yeah, so he put the cotton in the ears, and right before that, she cling the cup, and he just showed them that he passed out.
Right, right.
But they showed you he passed out. I was like, nah, this dude put the cotton in his ear. That's what he did.
Well, you know, because he had like a nervous condition. Remember? Did you mention that?
I said that when he was scratching the chair.
And that's what he
pulled
out.
And when he scratched the chair, the cotton out of the chair was coming out.
But see, you
and that's when I said he's going to put that cotton in his ears.
But see, the thing is, you know, it was shown at the very beginning that he had that nervous condition.
No, not at the beginning. That's
when she was hypnotizing him. Yeah,
he was sitting at the chair. He was kind of like scratching at the chair. But then when he went back and showed him as a child, he was still doing that as well.
Yeah, because it. And I love the way he did that, though. Because, you know, if they would have had just seen him scratching the chair.
Yeah, then you would have been like, oh, that's some bullshit.
And I like how he just showed little bits and pieces of him doing it because it actually was his way of freedom.
Yeah, so he was able to not fall out. And when they did that, you know, their son or her brother unstrapped him. And he turned around and knocked the shit out of him.
Yep.
So he hit him twice. You know, his head bleeding, so on and so forth. I'm kind of like, yeah, okay. I got you. He's free. So he walked out. But they flipped the screen, and then his best friend called his phone again. And he was like, yo, where's Chris? And she said, I don't know. Chris has been gone. He left earlier. He said something was wrong with the dog. He left. He was like, yo, I don't want to hear that. He said, I'm going to record this bitch.
Yeah, because she was trying to get to him, too.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, hell no.
He said, I'm going to record this bitch. Yeah, this bitch was slick. She tricked his ass, but she tricked his ass. And, you know, so he had to hang up and, you know, and you don't know what he was doing. Because the TSA didn't want to do anything. And he said, you know, we TSA, we do our research. You know, that's what we do. So I thought that was probably kind of cool. But anyway, as Chris was coming out of the room, he was walking down the hall. And then he walks into the room and no, actually he didn't walk into the room. He was the father was looking for the son because he thought he was supposed to be there. And he looked up onto the wall. So if you see in the room that Chris was being held in, there's a buck on the wall.
Right.
That he killed the deer.
Yeah.
And they kept, you know, they kind of glanced at it.
Yeah, they kept bringing it.
They kept showing it into the screen.
Yeah, showing it, yeah.
So when the father came down the hall getting ready to look for the son, Chris had that goddamn deer with the antlers and impaled his ass.
Yeah, sure.
And he was like, crash! And he knocked him down in the on the floor.
Which started a fire.
Which started a fire in the basement.
Yeah.
So Chris comes upstairs and trying to get out of the door. And as he tries to get out of the door, the son shows up. I was like, man, he bashed this dude in the head and this guy's still trying to get to him. So he's got that badminton bat or whatever it was, trying to choke Chris. And so they're fighting to get out of the front door. They're going back and forth. But he finally breaks free up there and, you know, kicks the shit out of him. And I think he finally kills Chris. He finally kills his ass. But then when he goes around the corner, the mother's there. And he sees her in the distance and she's looking at him. And then they look down and there's that damn tea set.
And the cup and saucer.
And the cup and saucer, yeah.
And they look both looking at it.
And he knocks that shit out of the ground.
Yeah, and beat her ass.
And beat her ass and stab her.
But there was one person left.
So the one person that was left was Rose. But he goes outside and he gets into the car. And what car do you see? It's the white car that at the beginning of the movie, the first guy was thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that her son or her brother was fucking kidnapping black people and bringing them into the house as well. It wasn't just her bringing people, but his ass was doing it too. So they had this monopoly on having given up black people for their friends, most likely getting paid and getting fucking major pay.
Yeah.
So he jumps in the car and he's speeding away. And all of a sudden, the grandma, the woman is there. And he runs into her. And he was like, should I get her? Should I grab her? Should I grab her? Then he was like, fuck it, I'll grab her. Damn. Because he thought of his mother once again on the side, got hit by a car or had an accident and just laying there.
Yeah.
So she turned around.
Shooting at him.
And as they turn around and he's driving up the road and she gains consciousness. And as soon as she see him, she like grabs the wheel and grab him and and they just slam into the goddamn tree. And it's like, yo, this is messed up. So he tries to get out the car. And who comes up the road? Freaking Rose.
Yeah, she sure did with the gun.
With the shotgun.
So the black guy, where did he come from? Remember when he, did he ran? Was he in the car? The woman was in the car. Mm-hmm. The black girl, because he was trying to save her. Then the black guy, he ran up.
Yeah, he ran up.
He ran up, okay. And he took a picture of him.
No, that didn't happen yet.
Okay.
So she was fighting with her and, you know, he was trying to run away, but I think he was in a car with her and then he ran up on him, right?
Yeah, he ran up on him.
He ran up on him and knocked him down and was holding him down.
Because she told him to do something.
Yeah.
And then he took the flashed the camera. He had him on the ground.
You know, he was holding him, and he reached into his pocket and got his camera out and flashed him.
Yes,
you know, Rose
was
standing there with the shotgun.
Yes, she was. That's
so right. As Rose stood there with the shotgun, and as soon as he flashed him, he kind of stopped. He blinked. He rose up off of him. He looked at Rose, and he said, let me do it. And she gave him the shotgun.
Sure did.
And he shot her ass.
That's right.
And I was like, yeah, he shot that bitch.
Yeah.
So, you know, all the black people in the audience said it too. But then he turned around and cocked the shotgun again. And he's laying on the ground like, what? No, no.
Yeah.
And he blows his own head off.
That's right. Because he knew.
Yep.
He knew. He was like, no.
He's like, I'm not going to live like this. So he knows what he went through, and he was like, look, this is just, I got to die. So Chris gets up and walks toward her because, you know, again, he thought he had feelings for her. You know, the other night they was sitting by the lake and he said, no, I'm in love with you and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And now he's looking at her like, I don't believe you did this shit to me. What? So before he was ready to leave, a cop car starts showing up and you see the lights flashing and I was like, uh-oh.
Oh, man, it's going to be that damn
it's going to be that cop again. And she says, please help me. Help me. This is what, help me. And the cop car stops. And
guess who got
guess what kind of car it is? It's a fucking TSA.
That was so funny.
And his boy gets out and he jumps in the car with him. He left Rose just laying there like, whoa. She was like, what the fuck? He left her just sitting there. I mean, laying in the middle of the road. So they all dead. The house is on fire. The father's dead. The son's dead. The mother's dead. The grandma's, we don't know if she's dead or not. The grandfather blew his own head off. And Rose is laying on the ground.
Yep.
And so he's sitting in the car. And his boy look at him once.
He said,
he looks at the road. No. He looks at him again.
He didn't say nothing. He just shaking his head.
And then all of a sudden he said, I don't want to say it, but I told you not to go to them goddamn.
That was the funniest part.
He said, I told you not to go up to that goddamn white folks home.
Oh,
and then it fades off. So it was comical in certain ways, but the satirical thing that most people is not getting is these wasn't, again, it's not your typical racist white people who wants to hang black people because they hate them. It's the liberal racism who admires black people, who wants to be like white people, but speak to them in these stereotypical ways or treat them in stereotypical ways.
So let's talk about the fact that, you know, the other people's perspective. Because, you know, I ran across some one person.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people on some people said they didn't like it. I've seen people said that, wow, this is a movie that need to be seen. But, you know, I've, you know, ran across one person who said, you know, it's not right. You know, interracial marriages don't work like that. And in the Bible, it says, and I'm like, that was like, what the hell? What they got to do with this movie? You know, and just say you just don't like interracial relationships. There's a lot of people who just say, I don't believe in them. I don't like them. And just be honest about it. Don't use.
But I still thought that was irrelevant because he killed their ass. So she should be happy that they was in a relationship and they killed them off. So she got what she wanted.
Right.
So why would you not like the movie? But they didn't like the movie because it was an interracial relationship and they are uncomfortable with that, which I thought was still stupid. But, you know, everyone has their own prejudice and views of things. Well, on the other hand, the way what I saw, and with a lot of people, they took the movie too literally of, just leave black people alone. I was like, no, it's bigger than that. It's so many other storylines that's in there. And like I was saying, I was trying to explain to them that this is just as racist as 12 Years a Slave. But this was liberals who try to tell you they're on your side. Yeah, these are the same people who vote for Obama and want child care and things for black people, but also sees them as powerful brutes and beautiful skin, that they would want this skin and the big booty just like them. They're admiring them for these superficial things, as opposed to being intelligent. And he laid it out there without being really, really specific.
Right, right.
He wants you to be intelligent enough to say you can see the movie as a standalone, but there's some things that I really want you to kind of understand. And that's how he kind of laid it out for me. And there's a lot of people that they just looked at it superficially or said, man, that was funny as hell, man. His stupid ass went all the way up there. I was like, stop it, man. It's deeper than that. It's deeper. You know, you got these Trump people, but these same, you know, Hillary supporters or whatever like that, they're just as prejudiced. Maybe not as racist, but yeah, it has to be racist because they see a race as being I like your race and I would want to be your race with my mind.
Right.
But what they fail to realize is you can't live in a world with your mind with black skin.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't do that.
Oh my goodness. But it's just it was deeper, and I mean, people didn't, I mean, there's so many things you can get out of this actual movie. It really can. I mean, so everybody's different perspective of how the movie is just interesting to listen to.
Yeah, so the other controversies coming out is Samuel L. Jackson saying they should have had more black people in there from the United States and not using British actors, which I thought was still bullshit because one of the British commentators was like, well, he came over here and did British movies with us. I don't understand what the difference is. And, you know, Samuel Jackson, you know, kind of throwing shade, saying, you know, I can imagine how that actor would be if they had the American experience. But the American experience, if you saying if he was just one of those straight niggas off the street and blah, 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 what kind of experience would he have had? And I don't know if that would have been any different on that. Because actors are actors. The better actor you are, the better you're able to accommodate a role.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, you have to, I mean, I thought it was stupid. I mean, to me, that was just plain stupid to say that, you know, because opportunity goes by both ways to me. Like you said, we've seen American actors act in British shows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as much as we watch, you know, movies and television shows that are amazing, good television shows, whether it's on Netflix, Hulu, HBO, and, you know, we've seen British actors do American, and we've seen American actors do British.
Exactly.
So I don't know why he would say that.
Because he wants to see the black actors from America do roles for supposedly black movies. If you're just looking for a black face, that's not what he did. Because if he's looking for a black face, I think all three guys, you could have put anybody in there. You didn't have to get that quality.
Right.
The other guy that we love from Atlanta, Keith Stanfield, he was on there. He's from California.
Right.
He wasn't a main role, but he was in there. You know what I mean? You had other black brothers that was in there. The other black woman who played the grandmother?
Yeah.
She's from Washington, D.C., so she's not British. So
was the main actor British?
Yeah, he's British.
So he's just talking about the main actor.
Yeah, but he, you know, then he talked about, like, Selma, where the guy who played Martin Luther King. He's a good actor. I like him. He's good. Could have someone else? No, but he has similar features that, you know, kind of played into
what he looked like.
What he looked like. Yeah. So you always want to have somebody similar.
Yeah.
But yeah. Not quite. But a good actor. You know, you really want a good actor. You don't just want somebody that looks like him.
We know for a fact that there are people who did what? What is it? Robinson? Jackie Robinson?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And like. He not only did Jackie Robinson, but he did other actors.
He did James Brown.
Yeah, and he's like, "Why you pick?" Him? He's like, "Why you pick him?" You know, he looked nothing like him. You know, and so again, it's like, and he's not even a good actor.
No, I think he's okay. I think he's okay. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's great. I think he's okay. So, what shouldn't he have got? What could he have been? What should he have got? I don't know. But I do know that he played a good actor. I think he played good in Jackie Robinson. I really didn't like him in James Brown. And then he's in the Black Panther. And I really like him in Black Panther
America. What did you say? It's all about the directing?
Yeah. So a good director will put anybody in there. So I think he was good enough and popular enough that they used him. You know, he got Don Cheadle in the Marvel comics. Don Cheadle is a way better actor than just playing in one of those.
That's right.
But Don Cheadle wanted to play in a Marvel comic, so he did. So you can't say anything with that. But, you know, there's a lot of, like, Idris Elba, Cheetah Okafor from, you know, 12 Years a Slave and all these other great movies he was in besides just that one. You know, the dude is really – they are great actors, and they're stage actors. So that's where a lot of these artists are going to stage to better their craft, where – you know, Denzel Washington and Viola Davis goes back to Broadway in order to do some stage acting to keep their craft sharp. Because you got to be sharp when you're on stage.
Do. You do.
You got a bad day, tomorrow you got to be better. Then tomorrow you got to be better. Where you on a movie set, you can just say cut and do it again, cut and do it again. But if you're that good, you're showing up and playing, and directors love when a good actor or actress show up and they do their thing.
Yeah.
They love that. So.
Yeah. And we've seen that. We've seen a lot of it.
So I just thought this was a really great intellectual horror that people have to take in consideration going forward now.
I love what you say, intellectual.
Yeah, because horror. It was I love smart.
That. I love that.
You can't look at it just superficially. You have to look at it in a way that it's going to be, well, it's not really a horror, but well, think about it. That's a black man's horror to show up at a white person's house when you thought they were your friend and they were going to cut your goddamn head open and make you part of their family, make you their slave, and they living in you.
Yep.
They're living in you. Yeah. Because they want to be you. And that's what's crazy. They want to be you. So I'm like, wow, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that was just, you know, like you said, that was really a really unique, how would you say, creative way of a suspense movie. I like I said, it was very, very intelligent.
Yeah, so great, great movie. So that was one we really wanted to see. We did see Logan, and then we're going to see John
my favorite
Wick
play. I love
two. So
I love
we're gonna get to see that one as well.
I love when he kicked people's asses. So yeah, John Wick 2 is definitely gonna be, and we're gonna come and talk about that one because you know that's my favorite. He's my favorite person in the world.
No, not mine.
But I know I'm not talking about you. Talk about me because I love when he does. You know, the first John Wick was awesome. So this, and they gave this a big high rating for John Wick 2 as well.
So more exciting movies, much more exciting. But what about this one?
What about the Planet of the Apes? No, King Kong kind of one.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about it. I wanted to see it because it looked kind of interesting. It didn't look like the first King Kong movie, like they kept trying to redo, because this is on an island, so it's not like, save the white woman. It's not one of those. So, but I don't think I want to pay money to see it, so... we'll just check it out a little later.
Yeah, it'll okay, that's cool.
It'll
but
be
I just
probably a video joint.
Yeah, because so. I was just thinking about it. I was like, oh, have we seen that?
I'm not paying money to do that shit.
Okay,
so.
Okay.
But we'll be okay. But that was Get Out by Jordan Peele. So I know they're going to give him a lot more money now because he
broke the $100 million mark.
Yeah, he broke the $100 million mark. And you got people doing the Get Out challenge. Just like the black man running through, they're running, they run straight at you, then they dart to the side. So if you're seeing that, a lot of people doing that on Facebook and the Get Out Challenge, they say the Get Out Challenge is getting out of goddamn control. So they got people just running by and as soon as they make that twist, they just drop to the ground because they can't make a good cut. So some of them are going to break their damn ankles and everything, but that was Get Out. So really good movie. So follow us on our podcast, Dreadlock Connoisseur, in iTunes and Google Play.
Yep.
Or go to dreadlockconnoisseur.podbean.com. And they have an app for it, too, so you can get the app on your Except for going through the iTunes app, you can have the Podbean app, and you can just have and see all our series right there.
And also, you know, don't forget to check out my Coffee Women and Tech website.
That's correct.
And look out for my podcast, my new podcast. My husband's making me do it because I need to do it because everybody wants to hear from me about women in tech. It's gonna be Women Tech Talk. So be looking out for that because I think it's going to be awesome hearing what women perspective is in technology. So, and follow me on Twitter at Fine, FINEBLK Woman on Twitter.
That is correct. So that's Urban Lifestyle Cafe, dreadlockconnoisseur.com. Follow me on Twitter if you get the opportunity at Mac IT Enterprise. And then my other one, don't forget, I have Dreadlock Wines. And like you said, the Urban L Style Cafe. That's me and Alicia, and that's where we have most of our podcasts. And speaking about small little things, either movies or anything in tech and all of that. So Mac IT Enterprise and Dreadlock Wines. Thank you very much. And
thank you.
We'll be talking about our next movie we go to, but look out for our other tech talks coming soon. Thank you, and have a great day.